Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. This week is Rosh Hashanah, so I thought I'd give you a Happy New Year present in the form of a short story by one of the most prolific and well-loved Yiddish writers. Unfortunately, not many of Avraham Raisin's writings have been translated, so he isn't very well known outside the Yiddish-speaking world. However, during his lifetime he was, next to Shalom Aleichem, the most beloved writer among Yiddish readers, whose feelings and thoughts he was able to express with clarity of form, lyricism, and warmth. Avraham Raisin was born in Russia in 1876 into a family with a strong intellectual tradition. When he was only 15, his talent was discovered by the great writer Y.L. Peretz, who published one of his poems in the anthology Yiddische Bibliothek. From an early age, Raisin sympathized with the Jewish socialist movement, and this is reflected in his writings. He was also a committed and active Yiddishist, and is considered one of the founding fathers of Yiddishism, along with Chaim Zhidlovsky, Y.L. Peretz, Shalom Ash, and H.D. Nomberg. He was present at the Chernovitz Yiddish Language Conference of 1908, at which Yiddish was proclaimed a national language of the Jews. Throughout his life, he supported Yiddish-related projects, and for years he published and edited Yiddish journals with the primary aim of providing a platform for young, struggling writers. After emigrating to New York in 1914, Raisin worked with several Yiddish newspapers, and in 1929 he began to write exclusively for the Vorwärts, where he published a story every week. He wrote hundreds of short poems, many of which were later set to music, as well as hundreds of stories, which celebrate the little man, often in the context of the shtetl, or immigrant life. He also published a three-volume autobiographical work called Episoden von mein Leben, Episodes from My Life. This story, The Poor Community, is taken from the anthology A Treasury of Yiddish Stories, edited by Irving Howe and Eliezer Greenberg, and published by Schocken Books in 1973. The little town of Voinovka, which consists of 40 houses and 35 householders, since five of the houses stand empty, rocked and rumbled and boiled like a stream on the eve of Passover when the snow begins to melt. But it wasn't the eve of Passover. It was a week before Rosh Hashanah, and the community had no prayer leader. In the nearby town of Yachnovka, which is several times larger than Voinovka, one could not only get a prayer leader, but quite a good one, with a neck, a double chin, and in general a cantor's bearing. Only he would want to be well paid, and that was the trouble. The town of Voinovka had already disposed of its few public rubles on a cantor whom, through ill luck, the past summer had brought. He had prayed a full Sabbath service with a choir of six. In a way, it had been worth it. Since Voinovka had been Voinovka, it had not heard such beautiful singing. The synagogue, which is over 200 years old, as the older folks tell it, barely survived the cantor and his choir. The windows trembled, the walls shook, and from the ceiling big chunks of plaster fell. In great wonderment, the community gave this cantor and his choir all of its public money. And now, a week before Rosh Hashanah, it suddenly realized that it didn't have a single penny with which to hire a prayer leader. So the townspeople gathered in the synagogue to discuss the problem. "That was certainly one of the most foolish things in the world," exclaimed Arya Leib the tailor, who looks upon himself as a Jew of some standing, since he has a long beard and a little boy who studies in the Yachnovka yeshiva. What a thing to do. It could only happen with us, said Haim the glazier in support of his friend. In the middle of the year to give a cantor all of our money. Foolishness, sheer foolishness, added Hanun the teacher, shrugging his shoulders. You know what my decision would be? Said Zorach the shoemaker, stroking his beard in the manner of a rabbi. I would have those who hired the cantor pay for a prayer leader with their own money. That's my advice, he said gravely, as if everything depended on his advice. But go find out who hired him. All of us hired him, said Zalman the smith. All of us wanted at least once in our lives to hear some religious singing. It's hardly an unworthy desire. But when the town is rich, a Yachnovka can afford to spend a few rubles for a cantor in the middle of the year, but not we paupers. Well, what shall we do? Asked several voices in the synagogue. It's very serious, answered one. Heikel Sheps, you will pray with the Sabbath tune, said Zorach the shoemaker to the leader of the Sabbath prayers. Heikel Sheps does have a bit of a voice, but he doesn't know any prayer tunes other than those of the Sabbath. Try, Heikel, try, said several of the householders. Make up your mind. Heikel Sheps got red in the face and weakly replied, I am afraid. Try, try, Zalman the smith began to chant to show him how. Aye, you can do it all by yourself, chimed in Hanun the teacher, continuing the chant. The whole gathering joined in, and for a few minutes the synagogue rang with the tunes of the high holidays. Now everybody knows it, but when Rosh Hashanah comes, nobody will remember, one householder remarked. Everybody took this idea seriously, and the gathering settled into deep thought. You know, we have no one to blow the shofar either, announced the shamus in the middle of everything, from the Torah reading platform. The group was startled. How come? Where's Nachman? It seems that Nachman, a pale, thin young man of about 20, who has his eating days when he's invited to eat at different people's houses and is studying by himself, had for 2 years blown the ram's horn for nothing. This year I will blow in the village of Sosnovchina. They're giving me 3 rubles. 3 rubles, he managed to stammer, fearing for his very skin, which had been clothed by the community. You're a cheapskate, someone called out. A ruffian, another shouted. One who always eats without paying, a third said, sneering. A torrent of words poured down on poor Nachman. He felt as if he were being pricked with needles. I have to earn such a coat. I cannot, he pleaded. Forgive me, but the winter is cold. What do people want from him, really, they asked, retreating. He needs a winter coat. He's going around with nothing on, naked. It really is so, everybody agreed. That means we have neither a prayer leader nor a shofar blower. It seems we have no Torah reader either, admitted the shamus from the platform. What do you mean? They were startled. Where's old Peshes? Where is he? Where is he? Old Peshes will also read in Sosnovchina, confessed Nachman, as if he were somehow guilty. He's getting 2 rubles. The group was stricken. Some lowered their heads as if looking for advice, while others lifted their heads toward the ceiling and stood deep in thought for a few minutes. What is there to think about? Asked one. These high holy days we'll pray individually. No more congregation. A pretty story and a short one, said another, laughing bitterly. This has to be written down in the permanent record, added another. No more Voinovka. Let's all chip in and hire someone with our own money, suggested Hanun the teacher, and was immediately taken aback by his own words. All right, give me a ruble, said Zalman the smith, extending his hand. I have none, said Hanun, shamefaced. But there are householders who do have. Who has, someone asked. Nobody has, came the answer. The holidays that are coming, they're no trifle. The synagogue was in a turmoil. Everybody offered advice, but none of it was good. Suddenly, The old shamus banged the table on the platform and everyone became quiet. I have a solution. Keep quiet a while. Really, really? They all exclaimed impatiently. The shamus inhaled deeply, took a powerful smell of snuff, wiped his nose, and finally spoke. This is the story, he said. During the summer, our community did something very foolish. We wasted our few rubles on a triviality. We forgot our poverty, our station, and we yearned to hear a cantor. Who knows really who he is? A cantor who rides from town to town can hardly be such a pious man. A worthy cantor sits home. But the story is, well, it's a thing of the past. The conclusion is, we are left without a prayer leader for the high holidays, without a shofar blower, without a Torah reader, absolutely without a thing. And if you want to know something else, the shofar itself is not as it should be. Now, it'll still blow one way or another, but when Rosh Hashanah comes, there will have to be so much blowing, a trua, shvorim, a tekia gdola, it will surely falter. Even last year it hesitated, if you will recall. I recall very well. And Nachman is a good blower. Everybody looked at Nachman and he blushed. Therefore, my advice is that this year we should become partners with the Soznovchina minion. That is, we should all pray there this year. Walking is permitted, and altogether it's 3.5 versts. It'll be a pleasant walk. We shall all save ourselves headaches. Where shall we get a prayer leader, a Torah reader, a horn blower, and also a horn? Because the horn, I repeat, the horn will give up on Rosh Hashanah. Surely it won't be able to manage a trua shvorim. It's too old and already has a few faults. All that remains for us is Soznovchina. After the shamus's talk, they all began to grumble. From the town to the village and on Rosh Hashanah, no. Let those yeshiva students come here. What sort of high and mighties have they become? In the past, the yeshiva students used to come to us to pray. Now that they've learned Hebrew, they make a minyan at home. Never mind the Hebrew. I'm sure they can count money. What do they lack? They have the best. Bins filled with potatoes, with kraut, with chicken, with eggs, sour cream, butter, and cheese. May all troubles fall on their heads, said one. Shh, 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 don't curse them. It's the month of the high holidays. Who is cursing? Who? Nobody, nobody. Who has any complaints against them? Berka of Soznovchina is a fine Jew. It'll be a pleasure to pray in his home. A house as big as a field, 3 times the size of our synagogue. A fine Jew. And what's wrong with the other yeshiva students? They're nice people. Of course. So it is settled that this year we'll pray in Soznovchina? There's no other solution. A fine thing. As I'm a Jew, a mountain has lifted from my back. What a mountain. We must send someone to find out if he'll let us. What a question. It'll be an honor to him. It's no small thing, townspeople coming to pray in a village. And the meeting ended in peace. On the morning of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, when the townspeople, on their way to Soznovchina, passed their old, dilapidated synagogue, standing there with cloudy eyes, woebegone and orphaned, their hearts felt sore and tight. And silently, without words, only with their eyes, they begged its forgiveness.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the story. And all of us here at Radio Sefarad wish all of you Shana Tova, Happy New Year. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.
Mayer, visit me.